Good morning, everyone. Let me begin by offering some great news. We have another one that's going to be become a part of the church, a part of our congregation. Sister Camille is going to be baptized right after service. So we really appreciate that this opportunity. And for you, Sister Camille, you've come several times. You're with your friends, and you have a support network with you. Now you have us added to that support network. So I want to invite you all to stand and when she's baptized to stay and just to welcome her within the context of the Duke family that she's about to enter into. A couple of announcements and then we'll get on with the business of the day. First of all, we want to wish Alan and Mikey a restful excursion to California where they're away right now and they'll be back next week, but we want them to take this opportunity to just rest, relax, because they work so hard for us here at this congregation. And as a token of our gratitude, we want to offer prayers for their enjoyment, just to enjoy themselves and then to come back again and put those shoulders to the wheels so that we can again move forward. The other thing is that we'll have the baptism today. We want to make sure as many of you can stay, as many as you can. Now, our lesson for today is going to be on thankfulness. Those things that we're thankful for. As many times as Christians, we tend to lean toward the side of what we don't have and offering up what we want, as opposed to being thankful for what we do have. And to thank God every moment for the blessings he's bestowed upon us. So we want to explore thankfulness. Thank God for all the many blessings. And I want you to share with me my thankfulness to God for all he's done for me, for those I love, and those that you love. The sermon today is going to be on gratitude. Gratitude for the many basic things that we sometimes take for granted. Gratitude. Understanding that it is beyond our capacity for all we have and all we do. It's a measure from God. And it brings to mind a very sad episode for this location. And I want to just take a moment to back away to acknowledge that there was a homeless person who found refuge in the back of the church building and was found back there deceased. We don't know what happened to him or how it happened, but there was a homeless person back there. And what it brings to mind is that it is incumbent upon us, it is our responsibility to reach out a helping hand to anyone we come in contact with, because we do not know the trials or tribulations that others go through. And to be homeless behind the church, that is a profound, profound statement for us. To reach out, to touch those who are about us. So we don't know who the person was. All that we know is the police picked him up and the ambulance took him away. But I wondered, after I heard of that, was this someone waiting to come in this building today and passed away last night in the back of the building? Was this someone that was trying to make up their mind should they become a part of this group of believers? And just hadn't made the decision yet. So I want to offer a silent prayer for this soul. I have no idea who he was, but all of us to just focus on this soul and that God accepts him into his bosom. And to our lesson. The scripture for our lesson will come to us from Hebrews 13, 10 through 16. Hebrews 13, 16. And it's about gratitude, being grateful. Sometimes we take so many things for granted. Take so many things for granted and think many times we did it of our own volition. When it had absolutely nothing to do with us, we were merely vehicles God used. Proposition for this lesson will be gratitude. We'll notice a few things for which we're to be thankful. An objective for our lesson, that each of us consider how we need to be grateful in our lives, grateful for being alive, grateful to be able to serve others, grateful to be a friend of others. The aim is to reinforce the necessity for thankfulness. Sometimes we become prideful, and not willing to give thanks, not to walk meekly, which we're instructed to do. Sometimes we become high and haughty in our own minds, because in God's mind, He knows who we are. In our own minds, we know who we are, that facade that we sometimes perpetrate. Let me read Hebrews 13:10-16. We have an altar from which those who serve the world do not have. We're blessed. We have an altar those who serve the world do not have, because in serving Christ, we have that altar. Hebrews 13:14 says, for here we do not have an enduring city, but are looking for the city that is to come, our eternal home. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. Never stop praising the Lord. Fruits of lips that openly profess His name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. You want to know how to please God? Help somebody. You want to know how to make God smile a bit? Help somebody. The authors are encouraging us to cling to Jesus. He's the sacrifice of our sins today. We are to go to Him, having already paid the price. Earthly citizenship is not our priority. We're here, but it's not our top priority. But heavenly citizenship, heavenly citizenship is our ultimate goal. That is what we seek. Remember, this world is just passing through. We're just passing through this world. It's a temporary abode. Our permanent home is heaven. And our goal is to get to heaven, to do those things that are necessary to get to heaven, to be pleased God and help mankind. What is the content of these words? It's making confession or giving thanks to His name for giving us the capacity to help others, for giving us the encouragement to help others, to think beyond ourselves, to think beyond what's in it for me, to think about what is in it for the Lord. What is our mission here from the Lord? All of us have been given an assignment. All of us have been given an assignment. Sometimes we allow pride to get in the way of doing what God wants us to do. I don't want to do that job, I want to do that one. But God equips us to do the things that we do best. Thought about giving thanks? It's a characteristic of those condemned in Romans 1, that they were not thankful. Let me read a little bit about them. Romans 1:21 states, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their own imaginations, thinking they had all the answers. And their foolish heart was darkened. Colossians 3:15, Paul writes, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. To the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful, always thankful. Remember, very little can you do without God's help. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. That's the good with the bad. But wait a minute, Larry, why are you telling me to give thanks for bad? You don't know the lesson that will come from that discomfort. You don't know the lesson that will come from that bad turn. It depends on how receptive you are to whatever it is you go through. Will you blame others? Will you condemn yourself? Will you become a psychiatric case because of something beyond your capacity? Or will you say it's God's will And if it's God's will, I live by God's will. And be content with that. In that regard, being thankful causes us not to be painful, not to be prideful. On a personal note, let me share with you a few of the things I'm really thankful for. I'm thankful for the creation. Creation itself. Consider that the purpose of the creation is for man's needs. God made the creation for man's needs. Genesis 1:26 says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Have dominion over that." It is our responsibility to care for those creatures of God, those creations of God. Genesis 1:29 says, "And God said, behold, I have given you every herb yielding seed, which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for food." He supplies us with our food, our nourishments, physical nourishment, spiritual nourishment, and all other nourishments we need comes directly from God. But are we thankful? Or do we think we did it of our own volition? Do we think we did it because we're so smart? We did it because we're so clever. It takes a fool to believe they're in control of their own destiny. Having that in mind in the creation of God has provided the raw materials for food and water, the things we have, the clothing we wear. It is God who supplies shelter. It's God who supplies the oxygen we need to breathe. How thankful are we for that? Or do we just take it for granted? As though God owes us that. And in other items of interest in our lives are through the blessings of the Lord. Likewise, it's also in the creation that the basis of employment is found. The jobs you have. To be thankful for your job. Many times, it doesn't matter what your job is. It's what you put into that job and take away from it. If you dig in a ditch, be the very best ditch digger. Some of my grandmother told me about that. If you're going to be a ditch digger, be the very best ditch digger in the crew. No matter what you do, take pride in what you do, because it just may be the thing God is using you to do, to build yourself up, to build up your own confidence in yourself. No matter the menial, how menial the task may be, and you think, "This, I'm built for more than this." Ambition is great, but gratefulness is even greater. Genesis 2:15 says, "And Jehovah God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it, take care of it, and to keep it." Adam's work was gardening, so God supplies us for our own task. God has work for every one of us. He has a job for each and every one of us. The resources that we need to build everything that we have comes from the creation. Moreover, we have the sun, the moon, stars, sources of beauty, navigation, timekeeping, all of within or within the purview of God himself. And sometimes we just take everything for granted and not acknowledge the author, the creator. And to, for a moment, back up from our pride and just say, "Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the many blessings you've bestowed upon us." Now, if we read here in Genesis 1:14-18, God said, "Let there be lights, and in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let there be signs and seasons for days and years, and let them be the lights in the firmaments of heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. So God spoke light. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. God set the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day. I am so thankful to God that he put us on a planet where he has provided the things we need to survive. But how many times do we stop and just say thank you? Or do we become prideful and believe I deserve this because I'm here? The Bible itself, God's revelation through us through the Holy Spirit. When we consider that God chose to reveal his mind to us, what a blessing that is. And he reveals his mind to us through his holy writ. We could not know God's thoughts without him revealing them to us. And that is the value in Scripture. It allows us to know the thoughts of God. I want you to think for a moment and absorb that the Word of God allows us to become embroiled with God and one with God, to know God's thoughts. It's in our holy writ. Consider 1 Corinthians 2:9-11. But as it is written, things which the eye saw not and ear heard not, and which entered not into the heart of man, God created. However, it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things of God has prepared for those who love him. The things of God are prepared for those who love him. These are the things of God has provided us by his Holy Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we've received is not the spirit of the world. Let me repeat that. What we have received is not the spirit of the world. We have adopted the spirit of the world, but it is not of God. We have willingly adopted. But the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand that God has freely given us free will to make a choice. And it's incumbent upon us to make a choice. Do we serve the world or do we serve God? Are we thankful to God or are we thankful to our own? Whatsoever things God prepared for them that love him, but unto us God revealed them through his Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For whom among men knows the things of man, except the spirit of the man which is in him or her. Even so, the things of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. So in order to know what God has for us, it is incumbent upon us to become in tune with God so that we can receive the message that God delivers and not block God's written word and holy word to us by our own thoughts of superiority, by our own thoughts of intellect. Or intelligence. We block God's word coming to us, our own sensibilities. Let me just share a couple of things I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for the faithful men whom God inspired to write his word. For those who wrote the word of God, I'm thankful for them. 40 different writers over a period of 2,000 years. Just think about that for a moment. 40 different writers over a period of 2,000 years. Only God could do that. Only God. 2 Peter 1:21 reads, for no prophecy ever came by the will of man. No prophecy ever came by the will of man. But men spoke from God, being moved by the Holy Spirit. What if David had given up? What if Paul had given up? We should understand that giving up is not God's way. We see things through until we realize that this is not the will of God, and then we move on. But we see things through. Now let's examine today's printed word. We're so fortunate to have the printed word today, and so many of us put our Bibles away. We read a verse, put it away, and don't read for understanding. Not so many years ago, it was quite scarce for anyone to have a book in their house. When Gutenberg set up the printing press, it changed our lives too. We're now able to read, we're now able to study, to learn from the apostles. Think about that, to learn firsthand from the apostles and the prophets through God's written word, directly from God's written word. The majority of the people in the world have not had this privilege. You have, we all have, those who have a relationship with the Lord has had that privilege. Many walk away and not accept the privilege. And they walk away in a fog because they're lost. Let me just share personal things for you about me. I'm thankful for family and friends. I'm thankful for family. I'm thankful for friends. I'm thankful for congregations, other Christians. For wives, Proverbs 18:22 says, "So whoever findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, or a husband, a good thing, and obtain favor for God." Husbands, Titus 2:4 says that they may train the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. So that's the role of a husband, to be God's worker within the family. We thank God for children. We thank God for children. Man, we thank God for children. Psalm 127:4-5 says, "As arrows of the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them." Many children. "They shall not be put to shame, but when they speak with their enemies in the quick gate," thank God for parents. Those of you who are parents, thank God for you as parents. Ephesians 6:2 says, "Honor thy father and thy mother," which is the first commandment with promise. Promise is long life. Honor thy father and thy mother. But Larry, my father and mother are gone. You remember the teachings they gave you, the lessons that you shunned away from. You honor them by adopting those lessons, even if they've gone to the other side. The honor you show them is about adopting the lessons they taught you. I know that I'm not alone in being thankful for grandparents, because I was always a grandchild, the favorite. Some of you can tell. But grandparents, uncles, aunts, nephews, nieces, cousins, being thankful for God has provided these people in our lives. Even though sometimes they make us want to jump off a roof, don't jump. Think about it. They are blessings to you. I'm thankful for friends, and I thank God every day for friends. Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." Friend love you even when you're wrong, even when you're arguing with them. They still love you. Be thankful for a friend. Proverbs 27:6a says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Iron sharpened hard iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." We're good for each other when we're locked in friendship. Friendship. And let me just share this again, too, as I backtrack. Your best friend ought to be the person you live with. Your best friend ought to be the person you live with. If that relationship has not developed to the point where you think it's blessed by God, it's time for both to come to the Lord in prayer and say, "Where do I need to give in? Where do I need to relinquish this desire for control, this desire to be in charge?" And take it to the Lord in prayer and pray for guidance. I myself am thankful for the church. One born into the church ministry, one who strayed away from the church for many a year, and come back to the church, studied within the church, seminaries and those types of things. I am thankful for the church because one of those sinners who walked away, came back, walked away, came back and said, "Okay, I've learned my lesson, Lord, you showed me. I need to be with you. I'm thankful for the church and all it offers. God's wisdom in creating her, I'm thankful for that. In Ephesians 3, 10 and 11, we read to the intent that now until the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus. Consider the autonomy of each congregation. Each congregation is separate and apart. Consider the plurality of local leadership, where a group of men get together to forge ahead, to guide, to lead, to be there for the ones who are in pain or the one who are celebrating. Consider the cooperation of various congregations. Consider how God has arranged his body of believers. His arrangement through God himself. All of these aspects show God's wisdom in the design and organization of his church. Of his church. I want to make sure we understand that fully. It is God's church. No man has ownership. Romans 12:4-5 says, "For even as we have many members in one body, and all the members have not the same office, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and severally members one for another." I think what I need to do is shut it down now because we ran a little over time. But at some point, I will complete this lesson. At some point, we'll complete this lesson on what it is the church provides for us and what we must provide for the church. Because many times we, something, you know, grandmother thing. Larry, don't let your head get too big. My word of caution to every one of you too, don't let your head get too big where you can't be told anything from the word of God. Make sure we stay within the context of the written word of God. And when we do, we live according to his will. And when we live according to the will of God, we always have a refuge when things don't go exactly the way we want it to. When we take on that responsibility of ourselves, of making our own decisions and not being responsible for the decisions, we ain't blaming other people, other things, situations. It's just that they don't like me, just that this and that. When we do that, we don't grow, we shrink. So at some point, I will continue this lesson, but I'll talk to Alan, we'll see what we can do about that. But I'll continue the lesson, but for now, since we're running over a little bit, I want to thank you all for your time, your attention, and at some point we will complete this lesson of what to be thankful for. What are you truly thankful for? Many times we take time out to gripe and complain when you have so much. When you have the church, when you have God in your life, you have so much. The complaining just makes you a bitter, angry person. And guess what? Most people don't want to be around bitter and angry people. So then it makes you so all alone. Let me close it down for now. And I will pick this up again probably next week. When Alan gets back, I'll let him know I need to finish this. So there's anyone here who is standing in the need of prayer, as we prepare our song of now's the time to come forward, and let's do that. Amanda, are you late?
Yes.
Okay. If you're standing in a need of prayer, we'll be here for you.
When we walk with the Lord, in the light of his word, what glory he sheds on our way, while we do his good will, he abides. Trust and obey.
there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the He sends, we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust.
Before we have the closing prayer, I just want to share with you, sister wants to be baptized. So I want to encourage you to stay and bear witness to a baptism.
Let us pray. Good morning, Father. We thank you that we've been able to come in here and assemble this morning together to study your word here at Priest, and be edified and lifted up by all the things that we sing and say and do. Bless us as a group, Father, or a church is special. Bless us as individuals, families, people. Keep us in your will, in your spirit. Let the spirit work within us. And Father, we ask you to keep Alan and Mikey safe as they're on their trip. Be with John and Katie Bixby. We don't know what's going on there. And Father, bless each and every home and individual that's here today. Go with us as we walk out of this building. We carry you with us. In Christ's name, amen.
You